following takes place between 8 a.m. and 9 a.m.
Everybody, and welcome to FPC Radio Live. It's Thursday. We are almost through yet another week without sports. Yes, we are getting through it. This is today would have been Major League Baseball's opening day, but unfortunately we are not going to get that. We have quite some time before we will, but we will talk about that. But before we get into anything, I have to, just because I'm contractually obligated to, I have to bring in my co-host. He is apparently wrestling something in the kitchen right now. It's okay though. He's Italian, so you know he's always cooking. He's always doing something. You know, making some sort of amazing dish, I'm sure, and also doing the show at the same time. So, without further ado, I'd like to bring in the man himself, Mr. Rhode Island Mike. How are we doing today?
La, la, la. I'm doing pretty good. I'm actually not wrestling anything in the kitchen. If I were cooking, then there would be some Frank Sinatra playing in the background, I assure you. But no, all kidding aside, it's always great to join you on the microphone, my good buddy. Yeah, Major League Baseball opening day would have been today without any question. NCAA tournament would have been in full swing once again. And, you know, again, we're at a standstill right now, but unfortunately, the sign of the times in which we live, and right now, the main concern is everybody's safety. So, we're here to try to get you through it as best we possibly can.
Yes, yes, no, of course. And I was going to say, you're quite the stereotype, my friend. talking about listening to Frank Sinatra, you know, I'm sitting here, you know, checking the sauce, all that stuff. You know, I got this image in my head that it's not going to go away. I mean, that's generally how these things work. So it's kind of like with our buddy Chris Blackie. I'm painting an image of all the listeners out there to the Big Bad Bruins podcast about who Chris is. And, you know, I'd be curious to see what people think of you that don't know you. So just basically based on the show.
I don't know if I'd want to hear that. No, I'm only kidding. No, seriously, folks, send in all of your thoughts to IGLEN31 on Twitter. And
no, I want them to bombard you, my friend. No, but look.
Oh, so they'll bombard me then. Okay.
No, look, I mean, we're obviously, you know, we're just as everyone is getting through it. And of course, you know, we try to speak in terms in the lens through the lens of the sports world mostly. And of course, you know, it's hard to not let real life get into the mix of things. But when it comes to sports, obviously, this has been a tough and trying and different time for a lot of us, because, again, it's. I mean, people are sitting there live tweeting games from 20 years ago. They're trying to do whatever they can to get the gambling itch out of the way. It's an odd time to sit here and watch no sports at all. I mean, obviously, you know, you have people that may be fans of one particular sport and they don't really care about the others, or you know, maybe you like two sports and, you know, maybe you're not a big baseball fan. So the summer's kind of like just a free, you know, few months from sports. I don't know what it is, but regardless of what you like, there's never been a time like right now, at least in our lifetime, that there's literally been nothing going on. So, yeah, it's different, but you know, we're thankful because the NFL free agency period is still going, so there's some intrigue there. And of course, you know, the NFL is a 365 day a year sport, although it only plays for 17 weeks plus a few playoff weeks. So you know, we're getting through this as much as we can, you know, trying to find obviously things to talk about. And like I said, fortunately for us, the NFL is still kind of kicking in high gear. So, you know, real quick, a couple things to note. Obviously, yesterday, Ndamukong Suh re-signed with the Bucks. I was keeping a close eye on that. Obviously, you know, and I know him quite well from his time in Miami. And, of course, he was on that 2019 Rams team that played the Patriots in the Super Bowl. That was obviously kind of a noteworthy re-signing. You know, it's kind of tapered off a little bit with the big major free agents in the NFL. But, you know, there's going to be more news, I'm sure, coming in the coming weeks once I think teams kind of realize what's going on. Is the draft going to take place on time? You know, we really don't know. So Sue resigns. There's words that the Cowboys and Dak Prescott are going back to the table to hopefully negotiate a long-term deal. So what are you keeping your eye on, my friend?
You know, I mean, this pretty much the same things as you are. Sue's signing is definitely something that's going to help the Buccaneers defense without any question. And that is something that they need to be concerned about. I know a lot of people are talking about the prolific nature of how the Bucs offense is going to be this year, but their defense is going to need to make stops. And I think last year they made some strides on that. I think a lot of the strain, and you've talked about this several times, my friend, I want to give you kudos on that, is saying that they were able to make stops last year, but they were on the field so much because of the turnover ratio that it really negated a lot of the great things that team could do on defense. Keeping Sue in the fold, who still has a lot of left in the tank, I think is a smart move. He's a veteran presence, and he's someone that can bring some attitude, you know, and keep it on that Tampa Bay defense. Move yesterday, obviously, or I should say the day before, but Philip Dorsett signing with the Seattle Seahawks. 1-year deal. Terms of the contract, obviously, are not being released at this point. They will be subsequently down the line. But I think this is a great move for the Seattle Seahawks. You already add him to a speedy wide receiver core that not only includes Taylor Lockett, but it also includes DK Metcalf, who was, you know, blazing this year and really came out as a rookie, played very well. I think Philip in this offense is going to be able to show his true colors. I don't think he ever really had the opportunity to do that in New England. I think that there was schematic problems that happened as a result of it and things of that nature. So I really do believe that at this point, this is going to be a great fit for him. He's going into an offense, you know, led by Russell Wilson, one of the better deep ball throwers in the league. So he can really showcase his talent there, I think. And don't forget, from his time in New England, Philip also learned how to play in the slot fairly effectively. So he's going to be a versatile piece for them. And this could be a very good addition for the Seattle offense.
No, yeah, I thought that signing was good, too. I mean, I'm a big Russell Wilson fan. I think, you know, Pete Carroll's a pretty good coach. I think he got, you know, a little bit elevated quickly when they had those couple Super Bowl runs. But no, I'm a big fan of Russell Wilson. And I like him as obviously a football player, as a person, all that good stuff. And I think Philip Dorsett, it'll be a nice fit for him. And I think it's unfortunate that it didn't work out here, because he certainly showed flashes. And I think, you know, for the most part, you know, I think it was a fairly even trade. You know, the Colts, you know, got what they needed in a guy who could come in and ultimately start for them for a year without, you know, letting the wheels fall off, and Jacoby Brissett. And of course, you know, he's a talented kid who now had a chance to kind of put some, you know, put some tape out there in the NFL, and hopefully it leads to another opportunity, whether in a backup role continuing with Indianapolis or, you know, maybe a starter's role down the road. You know, you never know. So, and for the Patriots, they got a guy that, you know, maybe you wanted him to contribute a little bit more, but, you know, he contributed when it mattered. And, you know, in a couple years or now or whenever you're sitting back reflecting on the, you know, the Tom Brady career with New England, you'll know that he caught his very last touchdown pass in the playoffs. So, and that was that deep ball to Dorsett in the AFC Championship game in 2019, obviously, or I'm sorry, 2018 in the AFC Championship game against Kansas City. So, and look, he's come up with some big catches in the past too. So, you know, he's going to go to a team that, you know, hopefully will give him an opportunity to shine a little bit and kind of find his groove and find the right situation for him. And for, you know, for New England, I think it was time to move on. I mean, maybe if Brady was still here, maybe they'd, you know, it would be a little bit different, but even then, I imagine Dorsett got a decent payday, and the Patriots are pretty, you know, cash strapped at the moment. So, I like that signing.
Yeah, I think that, you know, those types of under-the-radar signings is what we're going to be seeing now. Obviously, the big-ticket items are, most of them, are off the page, and they're going to be going into, you know, a new phase now of free agency, and that quote-unquote third wave which is where the New England Patriots thrive. So for everybody that thinks that the cupboard is bare in New England, yeah, they have some holes, but they will fill those. And usually they do a pretty good job of filling those admirably. Don't forget the trade market is still out there as well. And a couple of little bombshells from the Twitterverse yesterday that I thought we might spend a couple of moments thinking about. One of them includes a team that's very near and dear to your heart as well, my friend. And that is, first of all, Deshaun Watson now is getting very good at the cryptic tweeting game. Yeah, we're going to get to yours in a minute. Don't worry.
I was thinking something else, so I started to
We're going to hit the haymaker in a minute, but we'll start with the subtle jab. And Deshaun Watson is getting pretty good at the subtle Twitter game, the subtle tweets going on about, you know, getting out of here and about, you know, where do I go from here and things of that nature. It's interesting to see now that even, and again, I think it's probably a product of what the news of the day really is when it comes to the NFL, because there isn't much of it. So a lot of prognostication is going on. But even outlets like CBS and, you know, national outlets now are starting to entertain the idea that Deshaun Watson might be on the move. When you look at something like this, do you find any validity in the fact that Deshaun Watson could be on the move, and where he could be on the move to, might it include Foxborough, Massachusetts?
Well, let's just put it this way: with Bill O'Brien and the Texans, anything is possible, and I use that a lot for hockey. And you know, that's kind of giving us a little clue as to what we're going to.
Nice drop in there. Yeah, that was good. I like that.
Buy your shirt now; it's right up there on the screen if you're watching us. DSGNtree.com/full-press-coverage, folks. No, look. When it comes to Bill O'Brien, literally nothing is off the table with him. I think DeAndre Hopkins was going to have to be moved eventually, but I probably feel like he probably handled it in the worst possible way. Obviously, I got to get some more coffee. Apparently, obviously, when we're talking about his decision making on the football field, time and time again, you sit there leaving, you know, with, you know, scratching your head or just in disbelief as to what just happened. You know, don't look no further than their, you know, matchup against Kansas City last year. I mean, they had that game won, and you know, foolish decisions led to a crumble from them. And look, it's their MO. This is what the Texans are. They're, you know, they talk a big game and then, you know, they never back it up. I mean, I said it all last year, you know, when, especially in, you know, when in regards to the Patriots, I will never trust the Texans until they actually do it. I'm never going to try. I mean, they could have a couple stretch of really good games, and I just won't believe it, because I think ultimately at the end of the day, especially with Bill O'Brien, they're going to get in their own way. And look, when it comes to Deshaun Watson, I mean, I think everyone can see that his unique talent that I think no one expected really to flourish this quickly, especially. It's just kind of on the verge of being wasted. I thought, again, I've said it a lot, I thought the Texans should have fired Bill O'Brien last year after that playoff game, and instead they gave him a raise. And it's, to me, that just, it, you know, we talk about Seinfeld all the time. He has hand. You know, that's what he has. He has hand. And he's going to need it. Yeah, and yeah, well, you know, maybe not. This is a guy that, you know, has something. Who knows what he has on them, because he's been managing to keep his job. And again, with all this power, it's just, I think ultimately this is going to end poorly for the Texans. And, you know, and the way things are looking. And look, you can sit here and say, oh, you know, they were just lyrics, or, you know, because I think some might have been, but you don't, because again, you know what you're tweeting. You know what I mean? You know how it's going to be perceived. Maybe not to the degree that some things get taken out of context, but you know how people are going to sit there and look at that, especially with everything floating around with DeAndre Hopkins gone, all this other stuff. So you know what you're doing. So I think Deshaun Watson is obviously open to it, especially right now. You know, maybe it's emotional still. You know, maybe he's still frustrated with everything that happens. Maybe he calms down. Maybe they have a talk and figure things out. But my gut tells me that he is not long for Houston. And look, I will sit here. I'd love to have him on the Patriots. I'm sitting here saying, you know, it's always been Brady, preferably, or Stidham or bust. And it looks obviously like Jarrett Stidham's going to be the guy, and I'm happy about that. And I think that's the right course of action. But if you have an opportunity to pry away Deshaun Watson for what, like a pair of fifth round picks, is that's what it's probably going to take, you know, from Bill O'Brien, you know, depending on what kind of mood he's in. But if you have an opportunity to get a guy like that, then you go for it. As to who I think he would play for, I mean, I don't know. I'd have to really look into it and kind of see what the, you know, how this thing plays out a little bit, because again, I mean, this could just be a pipe dream. This just could be a negotiation tactic. Maybe he's angling for something more. Who knows? But it's going to be an interesting story to see how it plays out, because you feel like you're getting, you know, to keep it cooking, you know, you're just getting the salt in the water. Things are starting to kind of put together. You're putting, one thing in, one thing there, you know, the sauce is getting mixed. All of a sudden you start putting the spices in and it gets a little bit more, you know, a little potent, let's just put it that way. And then
the saucy you can have, but the secret that she's a mine. And second of all, no, all kidding aside, buddy. I think you make interesting points. And I think, you know, I agree with you. I don't see Watson hanging around in Houston for long. I know members of, you know, the Houston Twitter brigade that, you know, people are really there. They're actually hoping that Deshaun moves on because they just don't want to see him continue to be used in the fashion that he's being used. And I think that eventually will probably lead to that. But in terms of whether or not that's going to be in Foxborough, that's anybody's guess. I think that is the wild card in the whole Stidham situation. If the Patriots smell blood in the water, they believe that they can pry him away from Houston, then I think they do that. And I don't think they hesitate. But short of that, and I'm not sure, even with, you know, Bill O'Brien's reputation, I'm not sure that's something they're willing to do this year. If that's the case, then, yeah, the Patriots are definitely going to roll with Stidham. And I think that's the smart move for them. You mentioned other areas where he would need to go. Well, obviously, there would have to be a quarterback need, and there would have to be significant capital that's surrendered as well. So it's going to be interesting to see that. But one name that I wanted to quickly address, and I'm not going to say quickly because I know you're going to yes, we do need a name, and the name that we are going to give you is a name that you're familiar with here. It is Antonio Brown, and yesterday Antonio Brown was asked via social media, I believe, whether or not he would be signing with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He responded in one word.
Michael? You cut off there for a second.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. Well, I was looking forward to your, to the word, so go ahead.
Oh, the word is expeditiously, and he put that out there in a pretty big splash on social media, and I mean, obviously, this definitely caught the eye of a lot of different people. It made Fox News. It's it's something that a lot of people are looking at right now. But it does make you wonder. Recently, we've heard reports that Bruce Arians was not exactly enthralled about coaching Antonio Brown when they spent time together in Pittsburgh. So it's interesting now to look at this and say, well, is this the Tom Brady effect, or do they really believe that Antonio can be a viable option for this team this year? I think taking all of the off-field things aside, it's a smart move for them. It's a guy that he has a rapport. It's a guy that he has a rapport with, meaning Tom Brady and Antonio Brown. We saw what they could do together last year. We know that there's been significant contact, that these two have an affinity for playing with one another. They seem to like one another personally. The wild card in all of this is obviously Antonio's legal issues and whether or not there would be a suspension looming from all of the off-field situations. So I put it to you, Greg, what do you look at this now with the possibility of Antonio Brown joining the Bucs? How likely would you say this is? And putting all of the football aspects aside, how good of a fit is this in Tampa Bay for a guy that
No, you literally cut out, and then I got the very last of your question. But I'm assuming you're asked what's the likelihood of Brown joining the Bucs, and would it be a good fit? I mean, from a football standpoint, putting Tom Brady and Antonio Brown together on a football field, that's always going to be a perfect fit, and that was always kind of my base of my opinion when it came to the Patriots and Antonio Brown last season, and that's you can ignore the outside noise and you can come in and play football, he's the perfect wide receiver for Tom Brady. They both have similar drives. They both do similar things. And he's a smart guy who can, you know, read Tom Brady. And we saw that begin to flourish, even though it was ended very quickly. But we saw it, you know, in the very brief time that they were together with the Patriots. Now, is it likely that the Bucs sign him? I mean, they're saying, obviously, like you said, they're saying no, or at least the word out is that they're not interested. But, you know, they're all in right now. This isn't, you know, this isn't a, you know, we're going to sit here and take a cautious approach. Like, no, they are all in to win a Super Bowl. And they have a very short, finite window to do so. And the more you sit around and the more you watch teams in that division, we talked about it a little bit yesterday with Kyle Senra, add pieces and add to their offenses and add to their defenses. You know, there's some pressure builds up. Now, again, the biggest obstacle being how can they afford him? We don't know the specifics of the Sue contract, but assuming it's just a 1 year, $8 million, no fancy numbers to deal with it, they're at about $12 or $13 million left on the cap. So there's obviously going to have to be some wiggle room there in terms of trying to fit him in, depending, because I mean, I honestly don't know what a contract would be like for him. I can't imagine he would get what he got last year, but you're still talking probably $4 or $5 million for a year. I mean,
I would say that's reasonable.
You know, that I and again, that would kind of get close to slashing that remaining cap space in half. So, you know, really, you got to figure. You know, there's going to be some obstacles, but you know, again, if you have a chance to sign him, even if he misses four games, even if he gets suspended for four games, you sign him because again, from a football standpoint, he and Tom Brady are a perfect match, and you put him, and then you know, you add in the fact that he's going to play, not as you know, well, I mean, he would probably be the guy depending on where his football skill is at right now. But you put him on a team with Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, OJ Howard, Cameron. I mean, good night, folks. I mean, you want to see some great quarterback play? Put Tom Brady on a team with those receivers, and you know, it's going to be 2007 all over again.
Well, to me, one of the most intriguing things, and this caught my eye yesterday, is obviously Breshad Perriman signing with the New York Jets, who would have been Tom Brady's primary slot threat, I think. This allows Antonio to come in and fill that role. He's a guy that can play on the outside, much like Perriman could, but he's also very adept at being able to play in the slot role. And a lot of people thought that that was going to be maybe his primary role in New England, especially if Julian Edelman kept, you know, being hampered by injury or whatnot. This was a niche that he could have filled. And I think filled very admirably. So on the field, there actually is a slot for him right now and a need for him. I don't think it's so much even stockpiling. I think this is a good hand and glove fit on the football field. You mentioned the contract. I do. I think $4 to $5 million is a very reasonable goal for that as well. But I think there's also a lot that can be done to take a look at what this team can do. And if they're able to maybe shed a little bit of additional cap space now that we're getting down to that third wave of free agency, this might not be a terrible fit. Again, the wild card in all of this is can Antonio stay healthy? If he can stay healthy, and not healthy, but if he can stay mentally healthy, I guess is the best way for me to put it. I think that's the best fit for him right now. So it's going to be interesting to see what the Patriots do here. Patriots, the Buccaneers do here.
You're killing me, my friend. You know, I've done a good job of moving on. I think you've done a fairly good job too. I mean, there's so many other things to be thinking about right now, so it's kind of tough to dwell on that. But every so often, those little slip ups are going to happen.
The slip ups are going to continue. You know, you can take the boy out of New England, you can't take the New England out of the boy. I assure you. And it's just you know, I'm still pining. You know, I'm still clutching the TB12 book and singing "How Am I Supposed to Live Without You" by Michael Bolton every single night. So you know what? It is what it is, buddy. We gotta, you know, put our head down, grin, bear it, and that's it.
You know, I thought for a moment I had that soundbite, but no, that's just that's on my iPad on my my must listen playlist every day. Some Michael Bolton. Oh, you're Michael Bolton. I've watched Office Space like 20 times in the last 2 months. So
yeah, and we could probably go off on a tangent right now. Well, why should I change my name? He's the one who sucks.
Well, speaking of tangents, and you know, you kind of alluded to this, and my instincts picked up on it quite well because I started grunting because it's something I'm going to talk about again later today on a new Big Bad Bruins podcast. But Jeremy Jacobs, Delaware North. I mean, we talk about you know, what's going on in the world, and try to bring some levity, some you know, at least some positivity to the whole situation, whether it's, you know, talking sports, entertainment, whatever. You know, we try to do that, of course, not ignoring the fact that a lot of people are going through a lot of hard times right now just because of uncertainty, the lack of work, so on and so forth. And there's been, and we've talked about this before, there's been a lot of people, a lot of folks, owners, you know, even from the more prolific NBA owners to we've seen it on social media, landlords of, you know, who just random people saying, hey, look, we're going to work with you. We're going to try this. You know, if you lose this, you know, lose this job, you know, pay this for X amount of months or whatever. You know, like I said, NBA owners, NHL owners, they're stepping up to take care of the employees that just had their jobs pulled out from underneath them, you know, and you know, look, a lot of people say, oh, well, you should have saved. Well, it's really hard to save a lot of money for a lot of people. And this is an unprecedented time. And for the most part, people have stepped up. I mean, you can sit there and nitpick, but one that's obviously really stood out to you know, a lot of people, and it's starting to get a lot of national attention, is the Boston Bruins ownership. And it pains me to say it because, like, I'm a Boston Bruins fan. I love the team. I love the sweater. I hate the owner.
I despise him.
Yes, Newman, we all do.
and I think a lot of those sentiments are have been shared, at least over, you know, over, especially over the last couple of weeks, let alone the last day or so. But they came out and said that, you know, they are going to be laying off a lot of their employees, you know, after a week's worth of pay, which to me is just it's just utterly ridiculous for someone in a company that's worth $3.7 billion. Sometimes you just have to step up and do the right thing. You know, people sit there and go, why should he pay for it? Well, you know, again, sometimes you just have to do the right thing. In his position, he should be doing the right thing, and this is just not the right thing, in my opinion. And, you know, and I hate to say it, it's just really not that surprising. It sits in my stomach, and I hope. I saw someone suggest this on Twitter, that whenever the games return, don't buy concessions. Don't give him the satisfaction of you know, the folks are there going to get their, you know, they're going to be there working anyways. They'll get paid, but don't sit there and give him the extra money. Why would, you know, if I'm an NHL player, you know, after all this, you know, this is going to change things for a while for a lot of people, and a lot of, you know, mentalities, kind of sort of like, you know, we not comparing it to, you know, September 11th, but in the same way, you know, a lot of things changed after that point. And I feel like there, you know, certain things are going to change around here once things kind of start getting back to normal. And it's like, from a, you know, a hockey standpoint, if you're sitting there thinking, oh, you know, who am I going to go sign for? Am I going to go sign for the Bruins? Am I going to go, you know, play for this team? And when it comes down to it, you're like, you know what? You know, Jeremy Jacobs is a dick. Why would I go sign for with the Bruins? You know what I mean? Regardless of all the you know, the history and the other great people that are involved in this organization. I mean, that's the worst part about it is like, I can sit here and say, you know, this is not a Cam Neely thing. This is not a Don Sweeney. This is not a player thing. I mean, they've certainly stepped up, and I know they wish they could do more. And I wish they, but this is purely on ownership, and it's a shame, and it just rubs me in such a wrong way it's frustrating. It's frustrating that, you know, again, someone who has, you know, a company that has that much capital, that much money, is not willing to step up for the employees that work for them. And that's
I understand exactly where you're coming from. I'm in full agreement. I mean, there is a time and a place to be frugal, to be aware of your financial situation. And I'm not saying that this is not that time. Obviously, everybody is doing their due diligence to make sure that they're as well protected as they possibly can get. But you mentioned the worth of Delaware North and what Jeremy Jacobs Capital is. There is a time and a place that comes where you have to do the right thing. And I think we're at that time. There are a lot of people out there that are very scared right now. There are a lot of people out there that are really wondering where their next dollar is going to come from, what they're going to be able to do. Him being able to step up and help these families initially and allow them to be able to get some financial security at the beginning of this, so that way deep into this problem, they're not having as many problems as it's possible that we may be experiencing economically. I really think it reflects bad on the organization, like you said. It definitely reflects bad on Jacobs. I don't think it's a surprise to many of us here in Boston. I mean, Boston Bruins fans have said for years that, you know, oh, he's cheap. He won't shell out for his players. He won't do this. He won't do that. He's had that reputation. But now to bring that into a personal and global pandemic that we're seeing and really bring that to the forefront, it is disheartening, especially for a team that I know you love, you know, very deeply. It's a team that I'm a fan. I'm a big fan of as well. I don't have necessarily the fandom level that you do when it comes to the Bruins, but I do bleed black and gold when it comes to hockey. There's only one team that I will root for, and that is my hometown Boston Bruins. Of course, they have the Providence Bruins affiliate here in Rhode Island, and it's
Rhode Island.
of course, I have to bring it back to Rhode Island. Hey, I've got some great memories of the Providence Bruins ice. I can share those with our listeners at another time. But in any
And Rhode Island's just hitting right back at him because now he's lost. Oh, there he is. Hey, we're back. Right? We back?
I am back. Okay, yes, good. I am. Yes, I have returned. Yes. But in any case.
Has returned.
Yes, I have arisen. I agree with you with everything that you said about Jacobs. It is disheartening. And it's a negative mark against a franchise that we have a big time affinity for. And you hope it doesn't, you know, hurt them in attracting free agents and being able to build a team, because players may be looking at this and saying, you know what? I like Bruce Cassidy. I like the fan base. I like Boston. I like that team, but that's not an owner that I really want to play for and give it, my all. Say what you will about Robert Kraft and some of the decisions that have been made this offseason with the New England Patriots, but he's really beloved by the players that play for him. He makes it a point to be a part of their lives, to get involved in what they're doing to a certain extent. I even think, you know, maybe even an owner like Wick Grosbeck here in Boston with the Boston Celtics has really endeared himself to the players and the fan base. John Henry and the Boston Red Sox ownership, well, we've gone into that a little bit as well, but they can be counted on to do the right thing when it comes to the public in a lot of ways.
Public pressure.
Jacobs, yeah, exactly. It is public pressure, but at least cave.
I was going to say, that's perfect. I was going to say they cave more quickly. Let's put it that way. I don't want to give them too much credit here.
Oh, I didn't. That was kind of a backhanded compliment, to be honest with you. But yeah, Jacobs he has to look at the optics of this, and he really, if he doesn't care about the optics, then he has to look at the logistics of it and look at the people that he's hurting. These are the workers that work tirelessly every day to make sure that the TD Garden is a great venue to watch a game. I've been there several times. It is a great place to watch a sporting event, whether it be a Celtics game, a Bruins game, a concert. These guys work hard, and they deserve a little bit more security. Am I saying that, you know, Jacobs is on the hook to be, you know, to do everything? No, absolutely not. No one's saying that. But I think he owes them a little bit more than what he's given them.
Well, and especially when, again, this is in relation to what other owners. So, you know, again, there obviously everyone's going to get hit. Well, I don't want to say everyone, because certain folks and businesses are have that security and are know that they can get either bailed out or assistance or whatever. I mean, we're not going to get into that. I mean, that's a whole other topic for a different type of show and all that. But for the most part, I mean, because again, it's not like Jeremy Jacobs isn't losing money in this. I mean, he is. I mean, there's no games going on. There's no concessions being bought, all that stuff. I mean, he loses money. But again, him he can handle a little bit more. And when it comes down to it, again, it's about doing the right thing. It's not about, you know, maybe what's in the contract or what normally would happen. Like, no, this is, you know, unprecedented circumstances. And you just hope, you wish that guys and companies with the privilege that they have or the advantage that they have in life, that they would step up and do that for good. I mean, look at Mark Cuban. I mean, say what you want about him. Say, you know, about his character, his personality, all that stuff. I mean, we talked about it before. He stepped up and he continues to step up. Other owners across other leagues are doing the same thing. You know, they're putting together funds or they're committing X amount of dollars for this. And it's like, you know, when you think of it in terms of that, it's like, you know, okay, you know, so these owners are going to be losing money. Jeremy Jacobs is going to be losing money because they're not playing the games. Okay. But when you think about just the impact that, say, a $1.5 like million dollar fund, you know, this fake fund that they talked about like last week. I mean, they put out this statement talking about how they were going to commit, but really within the statement itself, it says, yeah, we're only going to pay that if the games are actually canceled. So until then, you're still kind of screwed, because that's the whole point of it is, yeah, okay, eventually maybe they do play these games. But what happens if that's 2 months, 3 months down the road and these families are now, you know, without money that they anticipated coming? And it's not like they can just go out and get a new job. I mean, it's, you know, it's not like you can go do the tour and go get some temporary work. It's like, yeah, maybe you can go to the grocery store. But, you know, at that point, are you putting yourself at risk? You know, are you going?
No, it's true. And those jobs are filling up quickly, believe it or not. They really are. They're filling up very quickly. I know several people that were that I've interacted with on social media that were laid off and they're looking for that type of work. It's tough. It really is. It's a scary time out there.
Yeah. And so, you know, at the end of the day, like, for, you know, the, just being, you know, just sitting there and saying we're going to commit X amount of dollars to help our employees, I guarantee you the cost to pay those employees over the, you know, the next couple months is nowhere near $1.5 million. So when you think about that in terms of in relation to his overall wealth and the fact that he can just shell out like $50 million to some university in Buffalo, New York, you know, a few years back, and that's the thing, he got criticism for that, I believe, and I wish I had the exact details in front of me, but essentially it was this: he donated a ton of money to a college in like Buffalo, and he donated like $100,000 to like the Boston Marathon Fund or something like that, something ridiculous. And it, again, kind of just speaks to his, who he is and how he looks at things. So to him, $1.5 million to ensure the livelihoods of all his employees that work tirelessly for him and for the company and for the TD Garden in which he owns. I mean, that's what gets to me. And that's what I think is ultimately the biggest kick here, is because it's like they can do it. I mean, it's this, you know, them losing that $1.5 million is nothing. And it would do so much for so many people. And yet they just won't commit to doing it. And it's a shame.
Yeah, it was a $30 million gift to the University of Buffalo Medical School in 2015. In September of 2015 was the number that you were looking at. Yeah, and it was just a little bit over $100,000 to the Boston Marathon Fund. Which, again, I'm not knocking that sum of money. I mean, there's no question about it. But I mean, when you look at the endowment that he was able to provide there, and then you're talking families that are, you know, really, I mean, really in need. There were so many people that were injured, that were really, that experienced so much heartache and so much difficulty as a result of that. Yeah, it makes you wonder where the guy's priorities are. But again, you know, any type of charitable donation, I'm not gonna knock the guy for it. But at the same time, you know, I mean, right now is the time to step up and be a hero to some of these people that really need it. You know, I think the country needs it as much as anybody out there. So yeah, it's tough when it hits a hometown team of yours and you have to do the criticism, but it's warranted in this case, bud.
Well, and it's not, and I'm glad you brought it up, it's not like we're criticizing him for being charitable. You know, it just, I just wanted to use that example to kind of, again, put it in perspective, because I'm talking about the human nature of it all. And then, like, look, I am certainly in no position to donate anywhere close to $100,000, let alone, you know, half of that, or a third or four quarter of that. So, I mean, it's just not the position I'm in. I'm just, you know, in this situation, it just, it feels like, you know, he could do so much more at such a little impact to his daily life. And it could be such a huge impact for so many. And, you know, he's always been kind of accused of just having, you know, the Bruins of just being like a side project. You know, obviously they make so much money through so many other different avenues, so that the Bruins aren't like, you know, his top priority. And it kind of shows here, because again, he's just, you know, he's just not taking care of the employees. And it's, like I said, it's a damn shame.
It is.
But
yeah, it truly is. There's no question about it. And you mentioned a lot of the other owners stepping up, and it's just disheartening. So you know what? Maybe some of the negative press and some of the negative backlash might change his mind. I guess he deserves the right to do it.
I doubt it.
You never know. We live in hope in these days, and we keep hoping for the best. So you never know. Maybe it does. Yeah, I know. He has been fighting the good fight, folks. Yeah. I've been right there with him on the alongside, you know, observing on the front lines. He's been firing the shots. So
like I said, Andy Dufresne. You know, I'll tweet at him twice a week. They can't ignore me forever. Except actually, they might, you know, because they seem to have ignored the pleas of the Garden people. And that's the thing too. It's like, it takes a kid. I can't, you know, again, another story I don't have the specifics on, but a kid organizing a GoFundMe to help raise money for these people. And it's like, you know, just that alone, you know, obviously is a great gesture. But the fact that it's like, you know, hey, you can't commit money, then, well, it's a damn shame. You know what else is a damn shame? To bring it back, you know, bring it back just a little bit here. The new LA Rams logo, or is it the Chargers logo? Rams, Chargers, or what logo did they rip off? I don't know, but it's I don't know what it is about 2019, 2020, but I've seen more backlash and peer pressure to change logos across just anything, you know, not just sports. I mean, we go back to the Sonic debacle of last summer. But like, people are just like, I don't know, that Rams logo, just it's bad. It's like, I feel like that's something I would make, and I'm not a professional graphic designer.
Yeah, what it looks like, and I think we've talked about this several times. It looks like what you try to do with a game or a video game back in the day that did not get the licensing from the NFL or NFLPA. So you try to recreate it in a way that kind of looks like the pros, but it's not quite that. That's exactly what it looks like, folks. Yeah, the Rams' new logo is just, it's not good. It really isn't. I mean, I like the return to the primary colors of the royal blue, the gold. That to me is the LA Rams, and I think that's a good move for them, but they needed to do a better job with that logo. It's just, it really is not good. The Chargers looks like they're moving away from that typical Charger royal blue and more into the powder blue, which I like. They're changes were a little, they made a couple of slight changes to the bolt and maybe a few to the font script, but theirs don't seem to be over the top. Yeah, the Rams right now, it's not good. But we've got a ton of uniform color scheme changes. Really, I mean, you know, two teams that are very near and dear to our heart, the New England Patriots, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, both going to be wearing new threads this year at this point. Interesting tidbit on the Patriots, and again, I always bring that back. The NFL one helmet rule yesterday, a lot of news broke and was circulating that may end up going away by 2021. So for those of you that are fans of the Pat Patriot logo, the Bucko Bruce logo, maybe some of the Philadelphia Eagles Kelly Greens that a lot of people seem to like, we may see those come back in 2021, and I know a lot of fans will be happy to see that nostalgia. So that could be interesting, but some more uniform tweaks coming down the line. I hear the one in New England's not going to be overly dramatic, but apparently the Bucks will be dropping that that digital alarm clock readout numbers, which I was never really a fan of. I don't have a problem with the pewter in the red, but I think they tried something new, and I guess it was probably, you know, pretty cool in concept, but ultimately the block numbers is what really works in the NFL. It makes for such a neater looking uniform, and you know, I'm looking forward to seeing some of their new threads as well, because I haven't been a fan of the ones they've worn the last couple of years.
Yeah, and it's like, look, you got the greatest quarterback of all time. You gotta impress out there on the field. You know, you gotta look good. I agree. I mean, it's kind of a goofy little number scheme and all that. But you know, hey, we got to fill our time somehow, because again, we'll talk about this actually maybe tomorrow, because we're kind of, oh man. Sorry, folks. Sorry, I just could not hold that one back. We might talk about this a little bit tomorrow on the show, but the proposed way of doing the draft. I'm not saying it's proposed. It's just an idea that's flown out about how they might do this year's draft. But I think especially Bucks fans in particular down here are eager to see the new jersey. I think they're excited to have the new jersey. I think they've had the same kind of feelings you do about the old jersey, and of course, it's a cool way to kind of welcome in a bit of a new era. And you know, ideally, of course, you know, you'd want you know, Tom and like Levante David and those guys up there to reveal the jersey and some big, you know, pizzazz and you know, little show, you know, show off in front of the cameras, all that stuff. And normally you would get that, and it'd be fun and it'd be exciting to see their jersey reveal. Obviously, given the circumstances, you know, they're going to make the best of the situation as it presents itself. But I expect in some way, form or fashion, we're going to get those soon, and at least it will give us something to talk about. And, you know, maybe by then LA will, or the Chargers, I'm awake, Mike. I swear.
Send coffee to Ian ASAP, please, folks.
Please, just put it, you know, right into my veins. Just straight up coffee. No. I hopefully, if you're a Rams fan, hopefully maybe they tweak those logos. I wish they would have just went back to the original old LA Rams, you know, color scheme. I mean, the color scheme's there, but the old, you know, uniform and stuff like that. I like those.
Yeah, I do too. I really think that the classic look to me is the best. I mean, look, the Jets did it a few years ago. They started out as saying they were only going to do it for I believe it was the 75th anniversary at the time in the NFL, and they decided to stay with it for a good number of years. So, you know, the older, the retro look can work, and I think really it should.
No, I agree. So, today's Thursday, which means tomorrow's Friday, and Friday is our last day of the week on the show. So, we obviously it's been a we're trying our best to you know, fill the time. Normally, like I said, we'd probably be talking about opening day today, you know, getting ready for the NHL and NBA playoffs, but we're going to keep trucking along here, Mike, and we're going to take things as they come, and the hope is that maybe in a couple months, maybe by May, you know, maybe by June, there's going to be some semblance of normalcy here, and we're going to be having a mad rush to watch these sporting events take place. So, but until then, we're going to be here to fill the gap. So, folks, be sure. Mike's going to be working real hard on it. Check out a new episode of Locked On Patriots, going to come out later this afternoon. Of course, we're going to be back tomorrow. I'm recording an episode of FPC Full Press Bucks podcast today. Of course, the Big Bad Bruins podcast today. You know what? I'm thinking I'm not going to have a voice by the end of the day, because there's going to be a lot of talking here. So keep an eye out. Keep a sharp eye out on that stuff. Follow us on Twitter. It's at Full Press Radio. Of course, the show is at FPC Radio Live. And of course, you can follow my buddy. He's at MDABATEFPC. And of course, bombard him with questions about the history of Rhode Island. He will be more than happy to oblige, and he will answer in a very, very enthusiastic way. So until then, folks, we will see you tomorrow, bright and early, at 8 a.m. Take care.